John 5, 24 and following. This is Jesus talking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So, here, first maxim, verse 24, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, this is the Father in the line of thought of Father to Son to us. If we believe, we already have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. This is line, hook, and sinker. Verse 25. Verily, verily, this is our next maxim, or what we call axiom or building block upon which all things trickle down from. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and hence, look at this, and now is, this is the now end, noonay, and now, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. He's speaking as the dead are already hearing. A dead man cannot hear because he's dead. This dead man refers to the spiritual man who is physically hearing and being allowed to understand and believe. So this is the dead that he's referring to, are the people that were walking then and now as we speak. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This is the, once again, the spiritual awakening or quickening. Verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he, that's the Father, given to the Son to have life in himself. And I'll add the word also. Not to add to the word of God, just to say it for our class. Verse 27, and has given him, that's Jesus, authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And we did a lecture series on Son of Man. It means the linear thought from the promise of Genesis 3:15 that the Messiah would come to save the world from the great Hydra, the great serpent, and that he, the Messiah, in this Jewish lineage, would come to conquer sin itself. So this is the idea of Son of Man, that he would be the progeny of hope. Verse 28. Marvel not at this. Don't be confused at this. Don't be perplexed or beshackled. For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. So once again, this is referring to the dead listening. It has to do more than the physical audible ear, obviously, because these people are the dead, and they're coming up. This is the resurrection. And here we have in verse 29 of chapter 5, and shall come forth, these are the dead, this is the physical dead, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now here is our theme for this evening. If Jesus just said, he who believes and hears on him and is saved already, and we have good works, it is an obvious thing. It seems that way, obvious, in verse 29, unto salvation, and bad works unto to damnation. It seems as though in the English text that we have free will. And I say free will, I'm referring to a man who is justified by his good works that he himself generated. If a man has a good work that he generated, then we can say that he has what we call engeneto. That means to generate out of nothingness. And I've said before, the word genes in the word engeneto means genius or to originate something. If this man has engeneto, the ability to give rise to something from the past or the present, geneto, then he can generate his own salvation by his good works. This means that he has what we call free will. Well, the word free will, if you go by the mechanism of geneto, meaning to originate something out of yourself, by yourself, first cause you, then that means that this free will has to be defined as eleutheros, balein. Eleutheros means free from prior actions. This breaks the law of thermodynamics, number one, and number two. It states that in thermodynamics that all things are affected by the previous affectation. All things in the physical world are affected. This was an argument that it was perverted by the atheist that says that except that you have an affecting thing, that even God must have an affectation as well. Well, the problem is in the laws of the first law of thermodynamics states that all things are affected except for the prima causa. And the prima causa has no affectation. It does its causing. So the laws of physics in first law of thermodynamics state all things are affected by the prima causa. This is a math. This is a sequence of maths that are led by the prima causa, or the maxim, or the axiom of the math. This statement that I'm making is to adhere to free will. If free will exists, a man can bring his own salvation by his good works, then he is Eleutheros Balein. He caused something out of nothingness to happen, and Balein means the casting. He casted his own lot. And we have said before that casting lots have to do with the witches, the fates, the fortunes of casting, and the temporal clause to get what you want. And it has to do with your idolatria or your idolatry, to see what you place, to play what you see is what you love and desire. Stuff and things, this is the wishes of the genie, the witches of fate, the temporal clause. One or the other. Here's my point to all of this. If a man has free will, then he casted his own lot. He is his own God. Free will is this. But here's the deal. In the English, it says this. In the Greek, it does not. So let's go to the Greek of the New Testament to show the importance of understanding your Greek and not just meandering through your English. Let's return to the text of John chapter 5. We've already read verse 24 through, I believe it's 29. So we're referring to a lineage of thought. Jesus did not do anything except say that of the Father's will. He adhered to the Father's will by sub-creating or simply doing the work of the Father for a single purpose. It was not for his desire. He was not individually out there on some random roving desirous attitude to create his own world. This is exactly what it means to have free will. It is the devil's doctrine to create something for your own selfish desire apart from what everybody else wants. It's relativism, it's selfishness, it's desire of the flesh. It's to create what you want to and create your own little world away from God. This is not linear Son of Man thinking. Son of Man was Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the will of the Father to bring a singularity purpose. And singularity is the word hagios and haplos as well. It means undivided. It means single. It means holy. The word kadosh in Hebrew means the same thing. Look at your table of elements, the stoichion. They are the building blocks. They are considered holy or hagios. They are individually helium. There's no mixture to it. There's no mixture to hydrogen. It's simply what it is. It is a singularity molecule or atom, and it cannot have anything else to it. Boron, carbon, whatever. If it's a singular element, it has no mixture to it. Okay, let's go to verse 29. This is Jesus referring to the resurrection of the dead who have physically passed on and can actually be brought back to life, but had the spiritual ear to hear in the dead physical state. This shows you the spirit is dwelling and living whenever the body's dropped. Right here, Jesus says, and these people, these dead, shall come forth, and I'm assuming in the future, those that have done good and have practiced to a resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to a resurrection of judgment. Let me read the Greek. Verse 29, and kai shall come forth, ek porousantai, those that, oi, the good, ta, agatha, practice, here's the word, poiesantes, where you get the word poein, poetry, to create. Poein means to do something, but it means to do something for the whole, as we will see later. this type of work, this energeo that has been working through the people, is called practiced in the defined George Rickerberry, Dr. George Rickerberry had defined this from the Greek as the word practiced instead of forging, as we'll see in the works of Cain, who forged his work, who did it with his hands for his own devices and did not listen to the line of God and thought he would do something special, something out of the imago or the mimesis of God. These people who did good, they poesantes, they practiced a good thing to ace, in the Greek, a resurrection, anastasine. So this anastasine is the thing that poesa, or poesantes, goes to. So when we see agathos, good, salvation, soterion, poesantes, meaning practiced, to, ace, that's the preposition, here's the final goal, the singularity goal, a resurrection. And here's the word anastasine, that means to stand up, to go upward, to stand upward. And it's modified by the word of life, zoes. So here's another modification of how it's going to be standing up to, of life. They're already dead. So there is, by this verse, the statement there is life after thanatos, after death. These people were physically dead. They've been brought back by the Spirit, and they are resurrected, and they're standing up in life by a good practice. Agatha poesantes. This word poesantes, we'll find out how it means and what it means in the semantics of salvation of God's works later. And here's the contrast. And those that resurrect to an evil, and I'm going to read it in the Greek, and those that, oi, day, that's day means the and, let's go on, and also, oi, those that, that's the plural article, articular, and I believe what we call the common articular, which means it's not sexist, it's not gender, not female or male, it's just simply what it is, it's just common. That, excuse me, and those that, ta, paola. Paola is the word for evil. And if you look at Dr. Pokorny's, Julius Pokorny's work, Fall, there is a P-H-O-L. It means to fall to the lot. It means to fall to the temporal clause, to fall to that which is allotted, allocated in this world. It means to fall to devices and vices. There's your Macbethian witches who gave the doctrines of fatalism to give what is in this world, and it is a fall. It befelleth them. What befallest them in the Beowulf in Anglo-Saxon, that which is allotted to this world, it falls down to the lot. And that's the word luck, by the way, to fall down to something, to fall to the lot. And even in that, there is no free will because you're falling to a sequence of events. Okay, so ta paula did. Here's the word. This is the practicing of the evil. It's not the word practicing. It's the word did. You ready? Praxantes. It's our root word praso. It means to do with the hands a particular thing and to work through with the flesh and the muck and the mire. It has a connotation through all the pagan authorities, which we will quote, and biblical authorities. This has a negative connotation 90% of the time. It does not supersede the word energeo from God. It is a lighter term. Poein is a lighter term. These are secondary terms. They're not maximals. They're not a maxim word. They are reflected of in light as sub-creation of the main energeo, which has to come from God. And we will see further what I'm saying about that. So, we have a poesin, a poesantes, a practice that will go to resurrection of life, and a praxantes, which is a working of the hands, a forging, if you will, that goes to the resurrection of judgment, which is hell. So, but in the English, it's the word done every time. They did good, they did bad. This is a good example of why you can't just stick with the English translation of the Bible. And even if you had two different words in the English, they're not going to be as articulative when it comes to defining what these words mean. So let's go on. In the Greek, am able I to do from myself nothing, even as I hear I judge in judgment my just is, because I seek not my will, but the will of who sent me, which is the Father. Now, I spoke that in broken English because that's how the Greek mind states it, so I'll say it in Greek. Ooh, dunamai, ego, that means am able I. To do, this is Jesus. Poein, he's not even using the word praxantes to say he did anything. Poein has to do with the saved here. Poein is the thing that goes to the resurrection or the anastasis. Poein from apo, myself. It means I am not able to do anything because he says udain, which means nothing. So Jesus is stating, I am able to not do anything of myself. And he uses the word poein to express the salvatory process. Even Jesus alone by himself is not able to save. It comes from the Father to Jesus for him to be able to save. There's a divine reflection in that. If Jesus was an independent agent, he would not be fulfilling the logos, the logic, the connective math that's necessary and necessitates itself to have his originative state of engeneto from the Father. The Father wills, the Jesus does. That's the poein. That's the line, hook, and sinker. And of course, the Holy Spirit, our beloved Holy Spirit, is what carries us through in all things. So that is your trajectory, your line. Your Shuresh, if you will, the root of God. Okay, so we have this one right here. Am able to do from myself nothing. Jesus is saying, of myself I can make nothing. I can poein nothing. Now that's axiomatic. I cannot go to heaven. I cannot create things to go to heaven of myself. Even as, kathos in Greek, I hear, akouo, I judge, krino, instantaneously, it is done. His tool, he is the tool. His job is to judge, but it's not to judge for us. We are already saved in him. We are in him and identified in his poein. And judgment, my just is. So he's saying that on this, because of this linear thinking, this relationship of Son of Man from the Father, his judgment is just. The word just is the word dikaia. It means literally straight. There's no bending or twisting. There's nothing bent that creates shadow logic of Christ. So let me say it again. I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my will, but I seek the will of the Father. So let me say it in Greek. Dikaio, just, is, estin, hoti, because. The word hoti is different from the word hina. Hoti means because of the past thing, the next thing will happen. Hina just means, okay, next thing. So hoti is emphatic. Okay, I seek not, u means not, zote or zotoi, seek, to, that means this is coming up, this is the thing, the articular, thalamai, will. I do not seek my own will. Thalamai. This is the word will. Thalos. The word thalos in this sense is the passion. Matter of fact, he does not even use the term Lutheros balein or to cast, because balein means to originate out of something, out of nothingness. So he's even taking the language itself to mean of the passion of the Father, the passion in you reflected of the Father. To imon means my, but. That means Allah. This is in contrast to his will. He doesn't even seek his own thalos, which we do all day long. But the will, thalama, of the one who sent me, which is the Father. Thalama, will, to, of the, it's genitive. Pepsantos, who sent me, same Greek word as me. Patros, Father. So he's seeking the passion of the Father. This lets you know there is a passion of the Father, a will, a desire of the Father. This is beautiful. There's nothing greater than the passion of the Father who willed all things into existence. It is the creation force, the logos we see in John 1, the Word, that put it together. The Word seeks the Father's thalos or thalama. Okay, verse 31. Ein, if in Greek. Ein in Greek, if in English. Ego, I, maturos, or maturo, excuse me, bear witness concerning, peri, myself, imato, then a maturia, that means my witness, mu, excuse me, a maturia, mu, means my witness, or of myself, the genitive, of the genitals, uk, estin, is not true. Aletheis. So Jesus is saying, once again, if I seek my own witness, my witness is not true. If God, Jesus Christ, being God, does not seek his own will, his own casting, his own thelema, that's the word will, you see the word will, then he, if he can't do it, how can we do it? We are idolatrous, we are pagan, we are under a different authority if we seek any other will than what Christ is seeking, which is the Father's. Another, allos, it is Esten who bears witness concerning me. Ho maturion means witness. Peri concerning. Amo, it means of me. Kai and oida, I know. Hoti, that true. Aletheis. Esten, the witness of which he witnesses concerning me. Now let me just, this is broken English, but this is how the Greek reads. Is Esten, hey, the maturia, witness, ain which, maturia, he witnesses concerning, peri, me, emo. Once again, all this to say that this is hook, line, and sinker of Father to Son to Holy Spirit, or Father to Holy Spirit and Son. The Son carries the authority, though, in the Logos, the logic. So how can a man who is casting his own free will, that means to originate a will out of his own self, have a linear relationship with the Jesus, the Christ, and or the Father? The point being is that the faith, the good works, have to come in line. They come in a line because they come in authority and identity with the greater thing. We are a reflection. We are an image of the greater thing. If a man is casting his own lots, he is originating out of his own flesh his own damnation, because there's no linear relationship between him and the Father and the Son. Here is a maxim of Christ. Once again, I'll repeat. Ain, if, ego, I, maturo, bear witness, peri, concerning, myself, imatu, a, maturia, that means my witness, mu, okay, means my witness of me, uk is not, esten is, aletheis, true. Now the word true, if you go back to Indo-European, it's the word root, stem, and branches. I've discussed this before in my Celtic tapes, the recordings of the Druids, what they mean. Druids, dara, it means truth, it means root, stem, and branches. It comes from the word etia, where we get the word etymology. The root of something, its stem and its branches, where it goes to. Pontius Pilate asked, what is truth? Jesus did not answer, because he is the truth. He is the completion of it. He, once again, hook, line, and sinker, root, stem, and branches. Therefore, if truth requires root, stem, and branches to be truth, then one cannot be in truth if one is not affiliated with root, stem, and branch thinking, or deokasune, or diakasune, straight line thinking, coming from a source of the maxim, the axiom, and forming the postulates, the branches that come from that. One cannot be in truth or be in goodness if one is outside of this. To quote J.R. Tolkien, a philological hero, a master of the treatment of words and their origins, he stated that if I were to have set out to have created my own work of myself, and this would have gone into the sense of pratin or prasso, I would have failed. He said, rather, it's the eternal themes that are going to the point, to the end of something, the linear journey to the point, in the mimesis of the great heroes, namely that of the Bible. He said, had I not rolled myself as sub-creator of that, that is the word poein, I would not have come to this level. The elegance of the story must be reflected as reflected light of the universal and one theme of the hope of the Messiah. As I was talking to a friend earlier this week, the new Batman movie had come out, and we saw that it was not enough to be a quote hero, because a hero is a pagan's term. It's the ultimate that man can be. It took a messiah. And if you see the man trying to take on the hero's theme, he becomes undulative. He becomes under the power of good and evil. And we saw in the movie Batman, the Two-Face, where the man has good and evil, and it appears on his face physically, going to and fro. And we know that C.S. Lewis had made a great treatment on the Screwtape Letters, as well as his treatment on evil as the laws of undulation going back and forth, to and fro, that rends a man. That's the name for the word rover, the word random. Interestingly enough, Rover Random was one of the Tolkien's stories about a dog who was lost, and he was trying to give his son a consolation for that, but that's another story. Rover and Random mean rondo, to roam aimlessly, that to just do something, to do the thing, to be in the thing, and to experience, to just be. It's almost a feminine form, to experience your surroundings and just to wander through it. At the utmost, it means wanderlust, to lust for the desire of creating and originating your own wanderings, your own roverings, your own randomness. This is the idea of the Sons of Chaos, to take on the image of the rover, or the roaming to and fro. Well, in terms of Powain, Tolkien said he asserted himself to be under that law, going to a point. So what we have are the terms for the, quote, sub-creator, or the Powain, and versus the Pratis, or Prasso. I think I have in front of me the word Prasso first, so I'll attack that. Let me just go slowly here. Prasso comes from the sense to do. It means to execute. We have the words prako, prakjo. We have the word praeso. In the Attic Greek, we have prato. It means to get beyond, to press on through, to execute, to do. The starting point is the expression praesin alla kalothon odoi in epic poetry. It means to cross the sea. Let's just say in Homeric Greek. To leave a way behind, to traverse, to advance. And we can see it in the Odyssey of Homer, chapter 9, verse 491. And also the Iliad, chapter 14, verse 282, chapter 24, verse 264, etc. Go on, et cetera. This leads to the second sense, that is to travel, a way in order to achieve something. And this is the sense of wanderlust. We're under the Prasso term. There's nothing wrong with having thalos, or will, desire for the Father's will to do His work. But we can't see the ultimate end. That's why that faith, working faith, is part of the Powain that we will see that Christ uses, and also in Corinthians it uses, as mathematically the part or the correlative movement of Powain. That is to abide in something. We have the Proto-Indo-European bade for the word abide, and this is a word for faith. It means to stay in something, to rest in something, versus forging and doing and breaking through. We are sub-creating. We are letting it be the thing and letting us do its work. It's working in us. The energeo is working in us. And we will see that in 1 Corinthians 16 and Philippians 2:16 as well, in terms of God working in us to do His good will, not us working in ourselves to do our good will. Romans 3:10 states, there's none good that be, none on earth seek God's will, but they seek their own. That's a natural state of man. How can man do a good work then? It's the Powain, it's the agathos, it's the engadeto of God. Let's continue. This leads, this movement, by the way, of in the Homeric poetry of Prasso, it leads to a second sense. It means to travel in a way, to order, to achieve something. Kleos aprasin. He won renown. Here's a hero's term. Like I said before, hero has to have the sense of the pagan. And that's not being immoral when I say that. It's just outside of the word of God, the harrison. A man has his own loft and his own dome, as I've stated in the Anglo-Saxon, his own domicile, his own limited immortality to carry on his name, his imago, in his lineage. And this is a hero's term. So let's go to Genesis 6, referring to these men of renown, these giants. They call the Nephili, or Nephilim in the Hebrew. And here is the men of renown. It came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Now, this is referring to the people who believe in God, and they saw the daughters of men. This is the people who were of the lineage of mankind. Remember, the son of man was a technical term. Shakespeare knew it very well. Of course, King James did. It has to do with the lineage of thought from authority, full authority. Capitalized son of man comes from the lineage of God as respective of mankind, saying this is the line of hope. This is versus, Shakespeare understood this, the daughters of men. It means the line of no hope. It means the ending result, the fortuna, the Gaia in the Greek, the female force or form of earth. The temporal hope has no hope. It is the limited immortality of men, which means literally the hero. It's the hero's term, or the lof and dome of the hero. In the Hebrew, we have the Nephilim, or the giant. Now, I do believe there was giantism in those days. We have, you go on to Dr. Carl Ball's website, you can type in T-Rex and mankind, and you can type in giantism, and you will see footprints of men who had very large feet, and I believe the impressions of the weight of that, when they were not gorillas, they were man's foot, Homo erectus, anthropoidus, us, as I say, they were giants in those days, and you can find that on Dr. Carl Ball's website. Just type in giantism, or just type in T-Rex and man, you'll see man's footprints, very large feet. So I do believe that there was such a thing, as well as today we have basketball players up to, you know, nearly 7 feet tall, and even maybe even above that. So some, not all of them, but there's a lot of people very, very tall. There's a giantism going on because of the proteinated food, the chemicals we put in it, the protein, steroids that we put in the meat for the cows, we're growing up. We're getting larger. And I won't go into the pocket of air in the atmospheric and the atmospheric pressure and the ionic change in the atmosphere due to the gravitational pull before the flood. But I believe it created men to grow older, longer, and to grow bigger. But anyway, with that preface, we can intelligently read this. Verse 2. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, like I said, the line of the hero, that they were fair, and that they took them wives of all which they chose. So these are men saying, I will what I want, and these are the sons of God saying that, and they will take these good-looking women who don't even believe in God. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. So at this point, he's going to limit the age of mankind. Not even due to the atmospheric pressure change yet, but he's just going to limit it to it. So that's still a long time. And of course, after the flood, we had people that did not live as long. But up to that point, men lived a lot longer than 120 years. Verse 4: there were giants. That's the word Nephilim in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that's sexual intercourse, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, of which were of old men of renown. This is the hero's term. This is the term I'm referring to about the temporal immortality of Lof and Dome that still carried on to the Beowulfian epics. It started from the Sumerian epics. This is something that has not been forgotten from the old world. It's been carried through, I believe, by the spiritual sons of Ham. I believe that this is reflexive of what we have today in terms of giantism, of mankind casting his own lot, his own logeia in doctrine. And that's the Greek form for the receptive doctrine versus the giving, progenital doctrine, logos, to give word and give truth. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now this matches that of Romans 3:10. There's none that do right, none that go the way of God. They seek their own. This is the Eleutheros Balein in doctrine, not in actuality, that man takes on. It's the doctrine of you are your own God. And did not Satan offer that to Adam and Eve? If you take of this fruit, you shall become as gods. These are what we call the heroes. They're called the high wits, the ones who see both good and evil. They're the judges. Now I'll read that, Genesis 3. Let me go on. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you should die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows, doth know, in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. This is the Anglo-Saxon Witten, as well as the Nakash. It's the eyes of the serpent, or the sensory of the serpent. Your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Here's the fall, right here. Verse 5 says, you shall know good and evil. It was good enough to know good and to be poein, to be practicing or working within the good. Now we have to work with our hands and forge through good and evil to make a living, to break through the membrane, the hymen, if you will, of life, to go through it. This is the practicing of praso, or evil. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that means there's your bounty, your pleonectase, your fulfilling of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, is your lust beginning, the eido la latreia, eido means to see, latreia means to serve, and a tree to be desired, there's your lust, your eros, in the thalos of eros, thalos, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were open. This is the wit. This is the wit in Guinea I've talked about, or to see both good. The video, I see both good and evil. The Anglo-Saxon witten again, to put things under scrutiny, to balance, to judge under the flesh's terms, and not to do poein, the good of God, which brings judgment of its own. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They already knew they were naked. They already knew that something was wrong. And then, of course, you see God coming in and using his rhetorical argument. What have you done? Of course, he knew that because he knew the will of the flesh. Let's go back to the Bible in Romans chapter 1, verse 31. I'll read it in English and I'll go to the Greek. This concerns praso. Verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do, that's the word do, the same, in the Greek it's doing, but it's another story, but have pleasure in them that do them. And once again, that's the word praso. Let's go to the Greek. Verse 31, without understanding, asuntos, it means without any kind of reckoning. Perfidious, asuntos, it means literally, how do I say this one? It's a covenant breaker. It means to break any kind of a promise. Without natural affection, storgos, storge means it means to have common affection, and as the alpha privative, means without common affection toward man. To open a door for a woman you don't know. An old lady to take care of a cat who needs a home. Implacable, aspundus, it means just without dealing, you can't deal with it. Lamanus, it means unmerciful, without grace to somebody. Verse 32, oitines, who, the righteous judgment, to dakaioma, and that means the straight line thinking once again, and I believe that has to do with us doing straight line practicing or working within the straight line of God, which brings judgment. This is the dikaioma. So we are in this dikaioma, doing the thing of dikaioma. We're not creating our own thing, we're in the straight line judgment of God. We're behind the judgment eyes. Totheo, and if you remember in the Old Testament, David put up the bow facing upward. It's the upward practice, or it's the practice of putting your bow upright whenever you're not at war or in judgment. It putting down the bow facing toward the ground, the arc facing toward the ground, it reflects the eye, the bowed eye of God of judgment. But we are underneath and behind the bow of God that allows for us to be at peace. And that's the rainbow symbol, and that's the reflected light of God, the refraction of God being behind the refraction, behind the thing, being in the Baba, or the pupil of God, without judgment upon us. Totheo, of God, epignontes, having known. These people they'd known it. This is the judgment on them. Hote, that, hoi, those, ta, Toyanta, such things. Doing, here we go, prasantes, praxo, praso is the word for doing something. It's the semantic usage of praso in its root form, or any verbal format of that. It has to do with the connotation of working with the hands, forging, working through, and being a creed of your own flesh, or should I say, working or originating or being under the doctrine of originating something new, to be desirous in what you do of your own things, to seek your own things and not that of others, which is a commandment of Christ, to seek those of others and not yourself. This is the doctrine or the mechanism of that is called praso. The doctrine is sin. It's to go outside of the Word of God. And these prasantes, these people who are doing this, the prasin, these people who are doing it, are worthy, axioi, of death, thanatou. That means this is the working to the thing. As we said before, the poein, working to the anastasis of Christ in the lineage of Christ, in the lineage of the Father, that's the working to the anastasis. Here we have the prasantes, which is worthy and working to the death. So here's your dichotomy. Here's the two different distinguishes. And this is the distinguishment of good works and bad works. It has nothing to do with a man doing good or bad in his own free will. It's completely out of context in the English. These people, only, monon, alto, them, practice. Now look at this one. Here's where we get the word poison. That means to be in the line, but also are consenting to those that do. Allah, but, kai, also, sunodokusen, are consenting to, it means they have the same kind of mind, and they do the same things. Those that, that's your definitive pronoun, tois, prasusen, that's where your root word praxa is, or praso. That means to do again. So they do, they're under the light, the splintered shadow, if you will, not the light, but the shadow logic. These people, poein, if you will, they abide in, by faith, their act of self-desire. But prason or praxo is the word for, or the mechanism for working to the death versus the poein, working to the Christ. Now, once again, the refracted light, the rainbow, the color of God, in the iris, in the bow of God, we're behind it. We do those things. We poein. The praxa is the doing of evil, of working of hands. And in that evil, poein can be used semantically to say that they are abiding in that rule of logic. As Dr. Kittle has stated of this Romans chapter 1, 30, verse 32 through chapter 2, verse 3, this word praxa or prasantes, verse 32, refers to the mass of those who are rotting in the general swamp of pagan vices. In contrast, Dr. Kittle says, on the other hand, the action of those who know God's righteous demands involves willful transgression. And poein is used for this. So he's saying right here that this is the faith mechanic within this. And this is that's very interesting. These are lighter terms, but they have the connotation and the machination to either go good or bad. The reference here is not just to philosophers and heathen rulers who offer an example of greater offenses. Paul already has Judaism in view since it is instructed by the law. He speaks of this at greater length in chapter 2, verse 1 and following. Here too, the poein of verse 3 is differentiated by the accompanying of knowledge of him who plays the judge from the imprice prasin of verses 1 through 3, so that there is a crescendo in the passage. What he's saying here is that these are very light, subtle, and is a wisp of wind. Don't touch it, lest it derivate the meaning of it. But these are beautiful semantics being used to show the spirit. And it's this wispingness of these semantics that touches the spirit of the movement of praxin versus poein. Even in the sphere of sinning, prasein has a more general sense as compared with the more definitive poein, just as encounter with law makes man more distinctly a sinner standing under judgment. possibly the distinction between prasin and poein in Romans 7, 15 and verse 19 is to be understood in terms of this line of thought. And you can see what I just said, or you'd refer back to what I said. In view of verse 16, the will rather than the act is already at issue. Verse 15. Hence the act in the first instance referred to only as prasin or doing, which is not orientated to fulfillment. And once again, we stated that prasin has to do with not going to a fulfillment of something, but rather working a craft, such as the word witchcraft, to practice something in and of itself and for itself. It's very cannibalic, versus poein, to be reflective of linear thinking from axiom to stem, or root to stem, to branches, to the end of the thing. Here's the idea, the semantic, or the sense of truth, poein, linear, line, son of man, versus sons and daughters of women, in praxin, to do the practice, the craft, the forging, to work of the flesh, to be a reflective of your own shadow. Another statement from Dr. Kittle on the word prasso. It says, a general survey leads first to a negative conclusion of great significance. Only rarely is prasin or prato or pratine employed for acts of the gods. This is in pagan literature. The usage of Plato, which influences the centuries that follow, is especially instructive. Among many hundred instances, let me repeat that. Among many hundred instances, only three refer to a divine action using this term prasin from the gods. And these in a surprising way. According to Plato in his responses in chapter 3, verse 391e, one should not say anything prejudicial about the gods, for each will excuse himself for being bad if he is persuaded that the latest seed of the gods, also toita prato te kai epriton. What he's saying is this, that don't mock the gods. Of course, Plato was in heathen Greece, so he had an idea of the gods, or at least respected the idea of the gods. He moreover designated logos as the idea of the main god, or a deity that created all things. But what he's saying right here is that even in the gods, don't mock them by using praton or prasso for what they work. And it would be under suspect if a god uses prasin as maybe going bad. But he's not going to judge the gods, because his logic of logos was holding to a higher theme of Messiah. Finally, we have our technical term for poein. States as follows. The idea that man should do what is commanded and not do what is forbidden, and that it is God who commands and forbids and who demands an account from man, derives from the Old Testament and is upheld in the New Testament. The objects of commanded or forbidden action are largely formulated. This may be seen from John chapter 9, verse 31, and the quotation in Acts 13, 22. They are, examples, the will of God or the will of the Father. This object makes it plain that personal proximity to the man, Jesus, which may well be combined with ecstasy and miraculous gifts, cannot replace obedience. Obedience has to do with the acting under something, the poein. In Mark, you can see Mark 3:35 for this, and also Matthew 7:21, and that the faith is for the fourth evangelist, that's John in particular, a matter of existential involvement. You can see it in John 7:17. As we go on, to be done are the will of God. Ephesians 6, verse 6, Hebrews 10, 36, chapters 13, verse 21, 1 John 2, verse 17, Revelation 17, 17. Here we have the Greek phrase, ta, agatha, or to, agathon, in John 5, 29, in Romans 13, 13, Ephesians 6, 8, 1 Peter 3, 11. To kalon, these are the good works, the good. 2 Corinthians 13:7, James 4:17, and you can also confer with Matthew 12:33, where poein means to suppose, and suppose means to assume, or to sub, it means to go under, pose, position. We position ourselves under this thing of work. Hey, aletheia. That's the word truth. We supposition ourselves under work under the truth. And we just got through saying that truth is the word daro. It means this, the root stem and branches. It has to do with the diakosune, or the straight line thinking. This has to do with the Son of Man and going back to the Father, the Son, to us. This is linear versus some cyclical insanity of cannibalism that one would act on his own desires for his own means, which is cannibalic. And we can also see this aletheia sensed with poein in John 3:21. And further, let me go back. Poein is the good works. Poein is the good working that goes to anastasis, or resurrection of life, versus praxis, which is the works that go to death. 1 John 1:6, we see diakosune. Here's your straight line thinking again. Revelation 22:11, ergon and erga. 2 Timothy 4:5 and Revelation 2:5. These are the words being used in context to position them in the meaning of poein, and how poein bounces through these words for its entirety, its trueness of effect. Fruits are to be brought forth. And we see this brought forth in poein in Matthew 3:8, and also in Matthew 21, verse 43. And aletheia is meaning fulfilled by the Gentiles of this in Acts 16:21. But sin is not to be committed, and you see this in various terms in Matthew 13:41, Romans 3:12, Romans 13:4, Romans 16:17, 1 Corinthians 6:18, 2 Corinthians 13:7, Ephesians 2:3, James 5:15, 1 Peter 3:12, Revelation 21:27, Revelation 22:15. What is commanded or forbidden is put in a pronoun or relative clause with the word poiestha. That means to be under that rule. Do not do that forbidden thing. There's your straight line thinking again. For a simple verbal concept, and in this, once again, this poein is supported in Romans 13:14, 2 Peter 1, verse 10, 15, and also in Jude 3, verse 3. There's only one chapter in Jude. In a construct with a double accusative, and poein, in Mark 1:3, and also in Acts 20, verse 24, apart from 1 John 1:10 and 5:10. Poein having various senses, example to do well, and also in James 2:19, to provide, and in Luke 12:33, to spend. 2 Corinthians 11:25, to suppose, as you're bait again, you're lying in the thing and waiting. Matthew 12:33, to compose a writing, to make a speech. These have to do with logic, a composition, a construction of linear thinking. One needs the other. Acts 1, verse 1, also Acts 11:2, on the whole section, you can see that. Individually, these passages do not go beyond the Old Testament and later Jewish understanding of poein. Confer to the objective in the Septuagint. We'll check out later, and also the Septuagint is expressly quoted in some of them. So what I'm getting at is the Septuagint, the replacement of poein in the Hebrew is taking place, and I believe that the word to create is Isha, as Asha, meaning to take something and to abide in it. So this is what we have, the Greek and the Septuagint. It means to replace the word Asha for the word poein. It means to do the good thing, or to do. So we have a very intensive treatment right here in terms of the word poein as doing good, to be correlative with the movements of bringing forth, to do well, to provide, to put in composition, as in poetry or writing, which once again goes in line with diakosune, straight line thinking, Son of Man.